Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Happens all the time. If you're here this morning without Christ, you are invited to come to Christ. More so than any way that I could say it and any way I could explain it, the Father is waiting with his arms open wide. Last Sunday, people got saved here. The Sunday before, people got saved here. People come here, they hear the Word of God, some that thought they were saved, some that never heard the gospel, never had it all put together before in their lives where they really understood it. They hear the gospel, they choose Christ, repenting of their sin, and they're born into the family of God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, come to the Savior today. Because everything is all right in our Father's house. Good days are coming. It's cold out. Going to get colder as the day goes on. Let's take a little mental trip here for just a moment. I'm not into that psychoanalyst or that psychobabble. That's not what we're doing, but I just want to have a happy thought. Think about July. It's Canaan land. The sounds of comfort food are coming from the kitchen in the pre-dawn light. You say, what does comfort food sound like? Bacon. Okay. Coming from the kitchen. The Canaan Land bird choir, songbird choir, starts to sing, and they're always on key. It's beautiful. 4:15, yep. Summer breezes. We gather in the tabernacle in the preaching shed at the end of the day. The young people lift their voices. The preacher gets up and he preaches the word of God. Man, it's just a wonderful, wonderful day. Now let's come back to the harsh reality of January. Here we are, right? So sit tall, open the Bible, your Bible you have in your possession. If you don't have one, you didn't bring one, start bringing one, start carrying a Bible, and bring a pen as well, but there may be a Bible in the pew in front of you, or you can look on to the person next to you. Luke in chapter 12, Gospel of Luke and chapter 12. Man, Canaan land feels like a million miles away, doesn't it? These are the times, this is the time of year when youpers fondly have those thoughts. Some of you have asked about the scruff on my face. We have had a couple of assistant pastors trying to grow beards for months now. And so last week I decided I'm going to show them how it's done. I'm just going to do it for a month or two. Just to belittle them a little bit and show them who's in control, who's the boss. And probably by the end of February, I'm going to shave this thing off. And Josh aptly pointed out, for the better part of my adult life, some of you don't know this, I had a full beard. Probably 25 years, full beard. How many remember that? How many are here that long? All right, a few of you. And some of you, you've never known me with a full beard on my face. Josh pointed out that it's not like it used to be. It is now white. So he said, if you're going to grow a beard and you want people to know about it, you better announce it, because those past the second row, they can't see that you have a beard. So we're going to have fun with this for about another month, and then I'm going to get rid of it. Luke in chapter 12, and this is another parable. I've been preaching through the parables. Before I get to the parable that begins in verse 15, actually begins in verse 16. Let me read just a little bit in chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. I'll make very little comment. Would you stand one more time? And I'll just have you stand for a couple verses, and I'll have you sit back down. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they strode upon one another, walking on one another, bumping into one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. It's a poisonous sin. And I want to remind you that hypocrisy is repulsive to God as well as unbelievers. Man, nobody needs that. And people want to hear the word of God. So they're real tight. They're gathering together. And Jesus says to his disciples, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Before I have you sit down, I just want to say this. If you're a hypocrite, everybody's going to know it. Everybody's going to know it. The people closest to you know it already. And everybody's going to eventually find it out because you can't hide hypocrisy. So quit being the pretender. Quit being the phony. If you're not born again, get born again. If you're not living for God, don't pretend you're living for God. Repent. Don't wallow in your sin. Repent and get right with God. Go ahead and be seated, and I'll continue to read. Therefore, whatsoever, verse 3, ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Simply put, Jesus is saying, fear God. Fear God. Don't fear your peers. Don't fear your authorities here in this world. Don't fear those that are under you. Don't fear the cosmos or the world culture. Fear God. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God, omniscient God. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. God loves me, and God loves you. That's a wonderful truth. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. It's important to testify. And he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. You can't reject the work, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit and salvation and be born again. You can't do that. Verse 11 says, and when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and the powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye shall say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. This is so human. Jesus is giving great spiritual truths, truths to live by as a child of God. And there's somebody in the crowd, and they raise their little paw, their little hand, and they say, my brother isn't giving me what I deserve. So they're so far from the mind of God. Verse 14 says, and he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Obviously, you know, unbeliever, all caught up in the world. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he's going to teach a parable now. He said, you don't measure a man's success by the things that he possesses. General Ulysses S. Grant, hard-charging, hard-talking general of the Civil War, then President of the United States, a man with seemingly no time for God, on his deathbed, called for the most spiritual man he knew and said, listen, I'm dying. Teach me to pray. It's amazing how a man's thinking clears as he gets to the edge of eternity. We live our life in busyness thinking that things, that's how to be prosperous. Material gain, that's how to get ahead. Jesus said, I've got a parable for you. Remember what the parables are? Earthly story, heavenly meaning. You had to have the mindset of God in order to understand what Jesus was saying in the parables. And he interpreted most of the parables for us. I've already preached 2 weeks ago on the parable of the tares. Not everybody that stands in the congregation of the family of God is genuinely born again. Some are going to be cast into the furnace of fire, cast into the fires of hell, and Jesus taught a parable on that. Then he taught the parable of the lost sheep. I preached on that. The lost coin. I preached on that. The lost son, the wayward boy. And I preached on that. And those three parables teaching forgiveness. This morning, I want to teach what Jesus taught. I want to preach the parable that Jesus preached, the parable concerning prosperity and what is really prosper. What is prosperity? Verse 15 again says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things. If you are not careful, you will fall into the trap of things, wanting to get more. You'll never have enough jet skis. You'll never have enough snowmobiles. You'll never have enough automobiles. You'll never have a nice enough house. You'll never have nice enough clothes. You'll never get, nothing in this world will ever satisfy." And Jesus taught a parable concerning this. It's about a worldview. This is really about having a proper Christian worldview. You say, "Pastor, does my worldview really matter?" It trickles down to every area of your life. Your worldview matters concerning your family. Your worldview matters concerning the things that you love and the things that you're trying to accomplish. If you have an improper worldview, you're going to make a shipwreck of your life. The parable that we are going to read does not say, it is not an anti-God parable. That's not what Jesus was teaching. He's not saying this man wasn't, for your vernacular and my, our verbiage, he wasn't saying he wasn't born again. He was saying this man had no time for God. This could be a Christian that for all intents and purposes, living like an atheist, sings the songs of the faith and says he's born again and does love the Lord Jesus, but for all practical purposes, they're living like someone that isn't born again. They're living like someone that Jesus isn't first in their life. And you see, we can all fall into that trap. That's a dangerous place, a dangerous position in which to be. "He who dies with the most toys still dies." I saw that bumper sticker once and I thought, man, that's well put. We are to approach life not like an unregenerate sinner. We are to approach life, attack life, and live life like a born-again, surrendered child of God who depends on his heavenly Father. Let's go back here to verse 16. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Now, I'm telling you that this man was blessed of God. He maybe didn't realize it, but he was blessed of God. This is a story of a materialistic, short-sighted, seemingly prosperous man who has no time for God. When he does have time for God, he punches a time clock, and it's 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Got it. Gave God his time. I'm telling you, that isn't Christianity. That's not enough. Eat one meal a week and see how that works physically. It won't be long. You'll be so weak you won't be able to lift your head. And that's why you're at where you're at spiritually. It ought to be Jesus first. Don't go running after popularity. Don't go running after money. Howard Hughes, in his day, was one of the richest men alive. You know how Howard Hughes died? With all of his money? In a penthouse, naked, living like a pauper in rags, no shower, nothing. All the money in the world, and he died the death of a pauper. Elvis Presley is one of the most popular men that ever lived. He died all by himself, a tormented soul. Things never satisfy. It says here in verse 16, Jesus said, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, seeming prosperity. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This man did not have a Christian worldview. This is a man, saved or unsaved, this is a man who has a worldly worldview. He thought that a man succeeds by owning things. He doesn't. He doesn't. That's not success. You can have your garage full of things, your living room full of things, your clothes closet full of things. And for any of us that are born again, we've been born again for a while. Some of you testified to it already this morning. Man, you're not driving the same kind of car you used to. God certainly has blessed. But things are not, that's not success. This man thought that things, that a man succeeds by owning things. And it's okay to own things as long as things don't own you. He thought that a man succeeds by owning things. He doesn't. He doesn't. You travel down any road in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. You go to the richest parts of our nation. You go to Hollywood. You go to New York City. You see all of those fancy homes and swimming pools. And those things in themselves are not evil. But I'm telling you, they got all kinds of things. And if you knocked on their front door and you were able to live in their house 24 hours, you'd find out they're not prosperous. There's a lot of heartache. So I'm warning. This is a warning for everybody that's here. Because there's no millionaires here. I know that. There's some thousandaires, maybe some hundredaires here, and that's about it. But don't think things. That's prosperity. That's where I'm going. That's what I want. Don't get caught up in that. That is a terrible mistake. He has all kinds of eye problems here. He says in verse 17, because you see, Jesus isn't first. I will do. This is what I will do. I have no room to bestow my fruits. This is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns. I will build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Prosperity. This man thought that prosperity would make him grateful. It won't. Here's what you think if you're a young person and you're not thinking right. You got a worldview that's worldly instead of a Christian worldview. One day I'm going to serve God. One day I'm going to get right with God. When I'm an old man, my house is paid off. I got a nice automobile. I'm near retirement. My kids are graduated. When I got money, then I'm going to serve God. Listen, unless you're serving God right now, you won't serve God then. Godly old men just don't pop up out of the woodwork. Godly older ladies, they don't just appear poof out of nothing. These are older ladies that were one time younger ladies. Let me go a different route. These were older men that were one time younger men, and they stood the test of time. The reason I wanted to go a different route is because I wanted to say this. And they're older veterans now, and they're old and they're wrinkled, and they got all kinds of scars. Now you know why I didn't want to go with the women on this, all right? Old and wrinkled and all kinds of stars, but they stuck scars and they stood the test of every battle. They loved God and they were thankful when they had nothing. It isn't like they're chasing the gold at the end of the rainbow, that pot of gold that isn't there. One day I'm going to serve God. One day I'm going to have the right spirit. One day I'm going to have the right heart. No, right now they were thankful to God. Prosperity, things do not bring thankfulness. That is sadly true. Old Testament Israel, no different than what we are today. As soon as you get a little bit wealthy, because everybody's wealthier than somebody, we tend to forget God. That's just the way we are. We're wired that way. In order to not fall into that trap, we have to consciously make that decision of putting on the new man, like I taught in Sunday school this morning. If you weren't in Sunday school this morning, everybody found out in the adult auditorium class, we all found out we get a new set of clothes every day. And if you want to know how to get a new set of clothes every day, you come to Sunday school next week, all right? You can take the old off. You don't even need to wash them. Just get rid of them. Put on the new man every single day. Don't go wearing that old clothing. It stinks after a while. Don't be that carnal Christian. Well, here's a man. This man, Jesus refers to him at the end of the parable as a fool. A fool. Here's a man that had all kinds of things, all kinds of money, all kinds of prosperity, all kinds of barns. Man, he had it all. It seemingly he was a self-made man. Seemingly he had everything a man could ever want, but he was a fool because he left God out of his life. Let's read on. Verse 19. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. By the way, people quote that all the time, thinking that makes them spiritual for living a party attitude, a party life. The fool said that. You understand, this isn't Jesus that said this. It's not a wise person that said this. It's the fool that says that. That's his mentality. That's his mantra for life. That's a sad deal. Prosperity doesn't make us grateful. It ought to, but it doesn't. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He thought this life was all there was, and it isn't. If you're blessed, you'll get 70. And that is nothing. If I could somehow help you to understand, that is nothing compared to eternity. Nothing. And it's almost over for some of us, isn't it? 70. This guy thought it was all about this life. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. He banked his profits and didn't invest in eternity. Let me tell you this. If God can trust you, he'll bless you abundantly. But if he gives it and you spend it only on things, you do nothing. You're not even faithful to God with the tithe. How can you expect the blessings of God? You say, well, I got it. Temporarily. This life isn't all there is. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Oh, let's go to chapter 7. Chapter 7. I'm going to skip part of my message here this morning. Look at verse 24. Jesus just got through speaking about the great white throne judgment and how that not everybody that claims to be born again or a child of God is a child of God, and many are going to be cast into the hell because he never knew them. They were never his. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, verse 24, these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. By the way, that rock is Christ Jesus. Build your life on Christ. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. We're reading in Luke in chapter 12 about the rich fool. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Build your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be building on the shifting sands of time. If you're an older person, like me, make out a will and make sure the ministry is going to get a minimum of the tithe, more than the tithe, as far as I'm concerned. I want to have rewards in heaven. And I want God to get even more than what I was able to give him while I was still alive on this earth. Man, don't forget God. The fool did that. The fool did that. He never planned on dying. He said, look at my crops. I'm going to tear me down my old barns. I'm going to build myself some new barns. I'm going to put all my crops in there. And of course, Jesus referred to him as the fool. He thought that man lives by bread alone. He doesn't. He doesn't. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Let me burst some bubbles here this morning, like a good pastor ought to do every once in a while. You've heard me say this, there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Quit chasing rainbows. The grass isn't greener on the other side. The top of the mountain is bare. That ladder that you're trying to grow, or you're trying to climb that ladder, it's going nowhere. You have today to live for God. Today. Christian worldview, I checked, I'm alive. God's given me another day. What's the date today? January the what? 27th? 2019, right? I got the year right for sure. All right. So here it is, January the 27th. I checked. I'm alive. I'm here. God gave me today. God gave me this moment to live for him. This moment right now. Right now, and I need to be all sold out. I need to be all in for God. And if I got a moment in another moment, I live it for God. Man, I live with eternity in view. I live with the proper attitude like General Grant did at the end of his life. Not during his life, but at the end of his life. Man, live for the glory of God. Invest in eternity. Spread the good news of the gospel. Live in such a way you point people to Christ. You point people to Calvary. Don't turn anybody away from God. Don't turn anybody away from the cross. Don't let anything happen in your life that someone would be able to misread in that way. Be the all-out Christian. Don't be the rich fool. He did not take. He thought he was never going to die. And he did. All in one day, God harvested his crops, cashed all his checks, his savings accounts, his IRA, foreclosed on all of his loans, all with one stroke, and called him a fool. No time for God. Let's read about it. Verse 19. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. James 4:14 says, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Your worldview matters. You got to look at everything through the prism of the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. How is that going to impact the gospel? How is that going to help the work of God? How is that going to lead another soul to Christ? Everything through that. And you know what will happen? If you have that spirit and that attitude, you'll truly be prosperous. Not like the world measures prosperity, but like God measures prosperity. If God finds that he can trust you, he's going to use you as a channel. Don't change your mind. Keep being used of God. You'll be blessed. Lifestyle. Man, it's important. This is the story of a materialistic, short-sighted, seemingly prosperous man. Not anti-God. No time for God. And he was a failure. The Son of God said, that man, and just in case any of us equate with that man is a fool. He thought that prosperity was measured in things. It's not. He thought that prosperity and things would make him grateful. It doesn't. He thought this life is all there was. It isn't. He thought that man lives by bread alone. He doesn't. And he thought he was never going to die. He did.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.